Father, the words of today's Holy Gospel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So we have this great season of Lent upon us, time of spiritual warfare, time of special weapons and tactics, training, the fight is on. It's been on for a long time. Don't forget, with all the troubles going on in the Ukraine and Russia, pray also for the war that's right here in our backyard. They're still pushing deadly toxins upon us. Many of our family and friends are being slow killed. Fight against that. It's evil in our midst. Don't go along with it. Don't get a second or third or any more of these shots. They're evil. Pray for that situation in the Ukraine. It's terrifying, but be careful what you read or hear in the mainstream media. So many proven, demonstrable, and unspeakably deadly lies, drawing us into a major nuclear conflict. As you know, it's terrible, but we are on the winning side. God will only allow us to suffer what we can bear with his help, and will bring us through with great glory and great victory if we conquer our own demons and temptations. Just a few announcements. We've got after Mass, we've got apologetics and catechism classes. Before that, immediately after Mass, I'll come back and distribute the ashes to those who have not received it on Ash Wednesday or any day since, only to be received once in the year. So after Mass, we'll do that. Remembering the words the priest says as he puts the blessed ashes upon your head. Remember, man, that thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. Yes, every one of us will be returned into dust or ashes, and God will reconstitute all in the fullness of perfect manhood on the day of judgment, either to glory or to eternal torment in the same flesh that we carry now. Pray also for those who died in this month of March from this parish. Our dear beloved friend, if you knew him, Father Francis Clifford, used to say a third Mass here on Sundays. Donna Alessio, Josephine Abedano, Sarah Buchel, John G. Buchel, Dr. John Cirillo, Yolanda Dobbins, Vincenzia Janik, Anne Kerman, Lois Ludwig, Hedwig Murawitsky, and Art Riccardi, and Grace Santa Croce. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Downstairs there are Novena Mass cards available for Easter. And this week, on Friday or Saturday, it's good to start a novena privately or in your family in honor of St. Joseph. The novena, of course, will end on his feast day a week from this coming Saturday, the 19th of March, the great St. Joseph. We need his help, protector of the Holy Church. And of course, this month is dedicated to this great saint. Now, you've seen posters up. The details are there, but next weekend I won't be here. I'll do Long Island, and Father Carl Sulzen will be here. Back, he was here for 7 years. He's coming back to give a day of recollection on Saturday, and then Sunday, the Masses. Father Sulzen will have the Mass at 9 o'clock this coming Saturday, and some conferences and rosaries interspersed between the Mass and lunchtime, opportunity for confession, consulting, a second opinion about things, and also the Holy Name Society sponsoring a free breakfast and a free lunch. It is an Ember Day, so keep in mind as you plan, the traditional rule is only one main meal on the Ember Day, on the fast days. And this week, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday are the specifically fast days for Ember. week, four times a year, and I usually recommend that you offer your fasting on those days for ending of the terrible crime of legalized abortion, which hopefully the Supreme Court will overturn by spring or summer. There's a hope, a faint hope for that, and the state governments and federal governments getting ready to counterattack with laws that oblige or continue the murder of the unborn. Yes, we're living in very challenging days. So I recommend your intention for Ember Day fasting is overturning of Roe versus Wade, which unjustly legalized abortion. What else have I got here? Next Saturday as well, and Sunday, Father Solza will quiz those who are preparing for confirmation. So if you can't make it, then I'll do it the following week. But next Saturday or Sunday, you got the week to memorize those questions, basic prayers and catechism questions. And if Father Solzen doesn't pass you for the test, I'll test you again in the following weeks. What else do I have by way of announcement? I think that's all for announcements. I wanted to cover a few pointers about this topic of today's gospel, about temptation. Why does God allow us to be tempted? Why does he allow us to suffer? He allows us to suffer because of sin, the sin of the whole human race, and then our own personal sins. Suffering is the natural consequence sometimes and the fitting punishment. So if we afflict ourselves willingly and accept the crosses that God our Lord imposes in his providence, we are being more and more purified from sin. But he also allows temptation in order to reward us when we conquer. In today's gospel, you see our Lord completely victorious over temptation and how we are to defeat it as well. And at the end of this gospel passage, when our Lord conquered after battling the devil, he was rewarded immediately with the consolation of the holy angels who came to minister to him. Exactly as at the time in the first sorrowful mystery, conquering temptation, ready to undergo his death for our salvation, the angel came to minister to him, strengthen him to fight and carry on. So it's the same with us. Whenever we are tempted, if we cave in, we are under the devil's dominion, if it's mortal sin. If we dally with it and don't give in, it's a venial sin, which does not destroy charity, but weakens our love of God. But if we defeat temptation, we are immediately assisted by our good angel, we are immediately rewarded. And if we keep resisting and receive the crown of glory, greater will be that crown according to the greatness of our battle with temptation. So this is the season to revisit that. And I wanted to refer you to the first chapter in the book of James. He speaks about this. Right after the letters of St. Paul, you have the epistle of St. James. And he starts in verse 13, "Let no man, when he's tempted, say that he's tempted by God. For God is not a tempter of evil, and he tempteth no man." So in that verse, he's speaking about temptation to sin. God does not do that. He allows the devil to do it, like in the book of Job, tempting him not only to sin, to despair, but all kinds of trials in the book of Job, first chapter, to reward him immensely in the last chapters of that book. So God doesn't tempt us, but he tries and tests us. And Every man is tempted, verse 14, by his own concupiscence. That is our own fallen nature, our fallen desires, which drift towards selfishness in the seven ways we've been looking at with the capital sins, the seven sources of sin. We'll cover the rest of them later this month. Man is drawn away by his own concupiscence and allured. Sin can be alluring. It can be attractive. And it's like the curtain hiding something behind, something evil behind the curtain. Verse 15, when concupiscence has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. But sin, when it is completed, that's mortal sin, begetteth death. So there's a procedure, there's the temptation, which is an opportunity for us. Every temptation we must look at as an opportunity to please God, prove our mettle, and to be rewarded here and hereafter. So temptation is an invitation. The second stage is the attraction or the fascination of sin. Things that we have to be very careful with that, because that second stage is the danger. We have to flick it off immediately, the temptation, and fly to the arms of our Lord, into his sacred wounds, into the arms of Our Lady. But the attraction can be stick like glue and drag us down. The devil wants to get at us because he has no other way of getting at God. The devil can kill God in the souls of those who submit to him. And that's how he takes revenge upon God for his just punishment. So the attraction is something we have to be careful of, because we're all in danger. But the third stage is the will. When your will is engaged and you fully consent, that's when sin brings forth death. Okay. These are the three stages of temptation. There is some important points here to remember. Many people are confused when they feel disturbed by temptation. They think they've sinned. And then, as I said last week, if you think you've sinned, you might as well go the whole way and get caught up more and more into it. That's the trick of the devil. Temptation does not equal sin. It is not sin. Our Lord himself was tempted. You can be sure Our Lady was tempted, but neither of them from internal causes, from what we call the flesh, because they had no original sin. So they had temptation only from external causes, from the devil, or in the case of the companions of our Lord, the 12 apostles, one of them was a scoundrel, and he probably caused temptation for the others. So external temptations. Another important point to remember is the first movement of any passion, which would lead to sin if you foster it, the first movements are not sins, no matter how disturbing they are, they can be. So people think because they've been disturbed, moved to anger or unchastity, they've sinned, therefore they might as well keep going. No, first movements do not equal sin. It's, as I said, an invitation to prove your love of God, to call upon him and with his help to obtain victory and to receive a reward both here and hereafter. The greatest reward here is his grace giving us a purified conscience. There is nothing like living with a pure conscience. We can suffer, and we ought to be ready to suffer anything rather than violate our conscience. Another important thing is we are, whether or not we're Catholic or Christian or anything, everyone who is tempted is disturbed, but the tempter will flee them if they reveal their temptations. Not indiscriminately to everybody, you don't broadcast it, but to a confessor or a spiritual person who can help to reveal one's temptations is to frequently to put the devil to flight. St. Peter says that, resist him and he will flee from you. In the rules of St. Ignatius, on the retreat, we have the men's retreat coming up. It's fully booked out, which is good. St. Ignatius gives about 50 different rules for discerning the spirits, for giving alms, for thinking with the church, for doing penance. The rule number 13 from St. Ignatius gives the comparison of a seducer who wants to seduce a woman. And he will flatter her and draw her into his orbit and try to sin with her. But if she reveals his seductive ways to her father or her spouse, he will flee. Reveal your temptations and they will be gone. The devil will flee. But also what our Lord showed us in today's gospel, you notice it's after 40 days of fasting that he was, first of all, he was hungry. That's like quite an understatement in the gospel. 40 days, no eating or drinking, he was hungry. And when he was hungry and weak, that's when he was tempted. So frequently in our own lives, when we're hungry, weak, lonely, miserable, depressed, that's when the devil attacks you. So watch out for those occasions and do what our Lord did. Immediately reply with the word of God. Our Lord's first temptation was sensual. Oh, look, you can turn those stones into hamburgers. You can do anything. Of course, he could. He could have done that. It wasn't God's will, so he didn't. So sensuality, in this case, food. But all the pleasures of sense are the typical first attack of the devil. Conquer it immediately with the word of God and prayer. The temptations to pleasure are very strong and they capture most souls. And most souls go to hell, says our Blessed Lady at Fatima, because of these sins of the flesh. Second temptation was pride, spiritual temptation, to make a show of himself, to make a big display, to gain power over people. This is a common temptation. Those who succumb to that wish to dominate others, and if they become influential, they can do a lot of damage by this prideful domination of others. Again, the word of God and prayer. You shall not tempt the Lord thy God. The third temptation in this series of today's gospel, avarice or full control with all the possessions of the world, which are as nothing before God. Pleasure, power, possessions, and full dominance of others. So at the price of serving Satan. And so the response is an exorcism, which you can pray. If you are baptized and you are tempted and you say with our Lord, "Begone, Satan." Well, he will flee if you really work, if you really mean it, and you don't want to give in or give way. "Begone, Satan." You can say that. You know, if you see the St. Benedict medal, it's the only medal in the church which has not only a blessing, but an exorcism attached to it. And there's all these letters around the rim of that medal. The letters are acronym for Latin prayer. VSR starts off. Vade retrosum Satanam. Get thee behind me, Satan. It goes on. The cup you offer me is poison. Drink thou thine own poison. You should tell that to someone who's trying to induce you to get the clot shot, the jabs. The shot you're offering me is poison. Shoot up your own poison. So this is the prayer the church has blessed and consecrated on that St. Benedict medal to repel the temptations of the devil. Get thee behind me, Satan. And so it is. This is the technique that the good Lord has shown us how to conquer. And in this little prayer booklet in the pew, the very last page is 10 rules St. John Bosco gives to fight against temptations against purity. But these 10 rules will help you with all temptations. And the little Latin quote after the number 10 rule is taken from the prayers in the breviary before Mass. It's a beautiful little prayer. May My mind feel the sweetness of thy most blessed presence, and the love of thy holy angels keeping watch around me. So, the devil is a fallen angel. He's keeping watch to try and bring you down. Your good angel is there by God, sees the face of God, stronger than the devil. Call upon him, he will help you. Call upon St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church. Call upon the Blessed Mother and the cross, the crown, and the blood of our divine Savior, who will never let us be tempted more than we are capable of resisting with his help. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.